This podcast is sponsored by Low No Drinker magazine, the number one UK magazine for the sober, curious drinker, bringing you news, reviews and interviews from the people, places and brands leading the low and no alcohol revolution. As a Sober Rebel listener, use code SOBERREBEL15 to get 15% off any digital or print subscription from the Low No Drinker magazine for 6 whole months. Hello and welcome to the Sober Rebel podcast. I talk to my guests about the benefits of sobriety, and I ask them for 3 things that they found that have improved for them in sobriety. Because we all know that going sober isn't easy, but it is also the best thing you will ever do for your mental, physical and emotional health. So this show is designed to motivate you and inspire you on your sober journey. And today I'm delighted to be talking to Izzy. Izzy, hello. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Louise. Oh, thank you very much.
It is wonderful to see you. We've obviously been talking on social media for a long time, and you've celebrated your year.
Yes, yeah.
Last year, in fact.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so that's quite nice. Yeah.
How many days have you been sober now?
So it's 432. So I'm 14 months sober.
Amazing. So how does it feel?
Brilliant.
It's a silly question, isn't it?
it feels great. When I got to the 1 year, that felt like a real big achievement. It felt like really I've got a good bit of time under my belt now. I feel really secure in it all. So that was great, passing the 1 year. And now it's just normal life now, yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Because it's like, I suppose I thought of it like finding my feet.
Yeah.
And once you hit that year, you kind of say to yourself, right, I've done one of everything now. Did you find that you struggled through things, or did you find they surprised you and you enjoyed them more?
So at the beginning, it was obviously hard, the first initially stopping, because it's a huge change to make. So last year, not the one just gone, so 2023 Christmas, that was hard because that was only a few weeks into it when I was doing it. So sort of socialising then, I hadn't really told everyone, and I was just sort of discreetly, you know, being alcohol free at work dues and family dues. And it was a little bit difficult first because it's just so different. But then it's, you know, just gets easier and it's fine. And then this year, when it was Christmas and Christmas dues and getting together, it's just absolutely fine now.
Yeah, it's amazing. It doesn't take that long before it just becomes normal, because you don't ever imagine it, do you, at the start?
No. And sometimes you think it's, you know, it's nice to give yourself a bit of extra confidence before you go out or something, or if you're out, but then you realise you don't need it. You are fine without it.
Yeah, it's habit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Habit and self-talk, isn't it? Negative definitely. Self-talk. And that is pretty impressive, going sober in the November before the Christmas.
I think I just thought, well, there's never a great time. There's never going to be a great time to do it. It's either going to be a really boozy December, like it normally is, because Christmas is such a time for drinking sometimes, or I can stop and just really try and do this now, start the following year really fresh, sober, new start. So I just thought, right, just go for it. It was the end of November. I think I messaged you, didn't I, on your page and said, oh, I've been following your page and I'm going to go for it and try and do this now. And then I never thought I'd be here sort of a year or so later, done it.
I love getting those messages, and I'm always like, yeah, go for it, go for it.
Yeah.
Half the time we build events up to be an issue. Yeah. And I know I did. You know, I'm desperate for people not to repeat the mistake I made, which was to put it off until after Christmas.
Yeah.
What would you say was that moment that you just went, I don't want to drink anymore?
So I think I tried to moderate for years. I'd known that, you know, it's sort of, I'd go a bit over the top with it. There'd be bad hangovers, and I'd do things like, oh, we need to stop drinking, try and just drink a couple of days a week, all these different things to try and moderate. But I never actually considered completely stopping. It just never really occurred to me. And then, I think it just progressively I think you've become more reliant on it, don't you? And I could just see it sort of progressing. And I thought, right, I just, yeah, I'm just, no, I think actually I just realized I can't moderate. I'm never going to be somebody that can moderate. It's something that sort of gets control of me. So I just need to stop, just completely stop and just be free of it.
What a way to put it.
Yes.
I mean, that's like a light bulb, isn't it? The moment you
It is, yeah.
realize it's controlling you, you're not controlling
Yeah,
it.
it really was. It was just thinking, no, it's never going to be able to be moderated, or just a couple of days, or just a couple of drinks and then stop. It's never really going to work doing that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and that's freedom.
it really is. It so is, isn't it?
So tell me a little bit about your drinking journey. Did you start drinking as a teenager later in life?
I did, yeah. So I was born in the 80s, so sort of a child in the 80s. My family, my parents drank, all adult family members drank. Family friends would come over and drink. So it was very much, it seemed all adults, it's just what happens, it's what you do. Got to be a teenager in the 90s, early 90s, started. First, I think the first time I had a few drinks, I was 14, which looking back now, I'm like, God, that is so young. I've got a 14-year-old daughter who's not even thinking about it at this age, really. But it just seemed to be all around us. It seemed to be, you know, the older teenagers were doing it. Everyone that got to that sort of age wanted to start trying to get hold of alcohol.
Do you think that was like a generational thing then?
I
Because
really think it is, yeah.
actually, I'm just thinking of my 13-year-old, aside from the fact that obviously we now live in a very sober house.
Yes, yeah.
And she was Googling me in her computer class the other
Bushes.
day and showing all her friends. And her
Oh,
friends were like,
okay.
"Oh, your mum's really cool. Tell her she's really cool for being
Yeah.
sober.
Oh,
Can't
how
believe it."
nice. Yeah, that's
So
really
it's
cool.
like, I think it's looked at a little bit differently these
It
days.
completely different, isn't it? Yeah. In the 90s, as teenagers, drinking every weekend to get drunk, trying to get us, you know, sneakily doing it and getting alcohol, because obviously we were too young to drink, really. And then going through the teenage years, yeah, it would just be drinking every weekend, everything that you go out to, every party, every do, it was just what happened. And it just seemed like completely normal. It didn't seem like a problem. Just seemed like it was fun. It was just how it was. And then sort of in my 20s, I think, so it was sort of the 2000s when I was in my 20s, worked at a corporate job, after work drinks, partying every weekend, and then it became sort of drinks during the week as well. But again, just very boozy environment. Everybody seemed to be doing it.
Yeah, that 90s childhood going into then the 2000s working
Yeah.
environment.
Yeah.
Because that was exactly the same for me. I wasn't a big drinker until
Yeah.
probably until my mid 20s.
Oh, yeah.
But what was really interesting, what you just said there was bang on. You drank to get drunk.
Yeah.
It wasn't you drank to have a nice time, or
No.
you might go out and have fun and have a couple of drinks. It was total, wasn't it? Head on,
Yeah.
I'm getting smashed. So, did you start with like, your stereotypical sweeter drinks then?
Oh yeah, I think in sort of the teenage years it was cider, Blue Wicked, all those sorts of drinks, hooch. Do you remember that?
I do. I don't think I ever drank it. Oh no, I might have actually. I
Yeah.
might have, but yeah, it is, and that 2020. But yeah, it was just such a toxic
Oh yeah,
drinking culture,
definitely.
and we're smiling about it. But obviously, then what happens is you get older,
Yeah.
and you start. I want to say growing up was how I felt. It's
Yeah.
just like, and then how did it progress for you?
Yeah, so then sort of during my 20s, I lost my mum, and it was a bit of a well, quite a traumatic time really, with my dad sort of went off the rails a little bit, sold our family home. It was all very sort of life-changing. And then I think I went even more into, oh, I just want to escape from all this and drink and going out. And my sort of support network then, it was a time when there weren't really any adults sort of looking out for me. So because my dad had kind of gone off the rails a little bit, and it felt like my support network was my group, my sort of age group of friends that I was going out with, and their way of supporting me was to be, come on, let's go out and have a few drinks, let's go and do this, let's go to this club. And I appreciated that, and they were doing, you know, they were trying to support me, and they did. But looking back, that wasn't the best thing to do, really, because I was just, not facing what was actually happening at all. So I think during my 20s, it definitely escalated a
I'm so sorry about your mum. I know we've
Oh, thank
spoken
you.
about that, but
Yeah.
it's that thing that then, like, you use it for fun and then
Yeah.
something happens and actually then it becomes you're using it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It was just such a horrible time for you. It's
Yeah.
understandable, isn't it?
Yeah, things really, it was, I mean, I had lots of fun as well. I got lots of fun memories of these times as well, but it was also quite destructive and, just not the best thing to be doing, really. But had fun at the times. So there's no point thinking, oh, I'm regretting anything, but just
No.
looking back, I think, oh, that wasn't the best thing to do, really. I should have faced the things that were happening, tried to deal with them, not try to run away from emotions, but you learn as you go along, don't you?
Yeah, we don't know that at the age of
No.
20, do we?
And then I had my first daughter, Sophia, when I was 29. So then my 30s, then I had my other two daughters soon after in the coming years. So I've got three daughters. So obviously things calmed down then. But then I know, as you've discussed in other podcasts, there's the whole mummy wine culture.
Yep, we're good at that, aren't we?
So that's the next thing. So that was in my 30s, really. It carried on, obviously in a different way, not going out and things, but it would be alcohol would be involved in most social occasions, really.
Did you drink at home as well? Was that something that,
Yes,
yeah.
yeah. Not so much in my 20s, it was more going out, but then as an adult and married with my husband, the two of us would have drinks at home, we'd drink, and it was just very much a part of our life, really.
It's
Yeah.
unbelievable how easily it sneaks in, and it
Yeah.
feels, I don't know, it feels sophisticated. It's sort of like, and I was talking to somebody about this the other day, when you're at home and you're not needing to hold a conversation necessarily, or
Yeah.
you're not out in the cold, fresh air, you can drink more and not
Yeah.
realize how drunk you are.
Yeah, this is it. Definitely. It would be nice. It'd be our time to relax, we'd think, at home, having a few glasses of wine, and it would either be, it was just a complete habit and just what we did, really. And then as I went into my 40s, I feel that I started getting perimenopause symptoms, and hangovers seemed to start getting a lot worse all of a sudden. So when if I was drinking, I'd be getting horrendous hangovers, which was a newish thing. And I just thought, oh, it's just not the best thing to be doing while you're going through the perimenopause anyway, and having all these different symptoms and things, and the hangover as well, just not good.
How did you spot that? How did you sort of think, hang on, this isn't what changed?
Yeah, so I think just once I started sort of doing a bit of research, so I was 42 when I stopped. That was when I stopped drinking. And I think I'd started becoming what we call now sober curious. I didn't really know that was a term then, but sort of it's sober curious, I must have been, because I was looking at all these different pages and things. I found you, started following you. You're really an inspiration. And it was like, oh God, so that's an option. Just don't drink. You actually just don't do that. Just literally stop. And I just thought, gosh, that would be such a nice lifestyle just to feel free of it, really, and just live your life without it. Yeah, so I started doing sort of research into it and realizing that also, sort of women, as they get 40 plus, you can start having all these different changes in your body anyway, changes with hormones. Drinking alcohol just doesn't do you any favors, does it?
No, it makes everything harder.
Yeah.
Do you find that since you've stopped drinking, have any perimenopause symptoms calmed down for you?
Yeah, 100%. I was getting headaches, which you could put down to it being a hangover, but I was thinking, gosh, I'm really getting headaches a lot, like several times during the week. Just seem to constantly have headaches, and also sweating, hot flushes, like really full on hot flushes and things. And all, yeah, that's stopped.
That
Just
is
stopped. Yeah.
amazing. You're not the first person to say that to me
Really.
either. I don't know what's going on with me, whether I went sober at the right time, but I'm
Yeah,
not suffering with anything yet.
that's
Touch wood.
good. Yeah.
And I mean, I must be because I'm 47 this year.
Yeah.
So I must be. But I don't know whether it's the fact I've gone sober that it's just I'm not getting as affected.
Yeah, maybe you've just sailed through the symptoms because you're in a really good, healthy place, maybe.
Or maybe around the corner it's going to hit me in the
Yeah.
face. You don't know. I don't want to be too cocky here,
Yeah.
touch wood. But yeah, I hear about it and then people saying, do you know what? It just cleared up. And I'm need to look into why that is.
Yeah. No, it's interesting, isn't it?
Because you can understand sort of hangover symptoms, but understanding
Yeah.
what is it about menopause or what is it about maybe estrogen levels dropping or
Yeah.
something that
Yeah.
means that menopause symptoms are worse, not just
Yeah.
hangover is worse.
Yeah, exactly. I know it is interesting, isn't it? And I think it's something, yeah, it does need to be looked into really, doesn't it? Because people just don't realise, I don't think.
Yeah, I think we go through enough without pouring a
Yeah.
toxin into it. I always ask my guests on here to talk about three areas that they've noticed have changed for the better.
Yeah.
What's your first area?
So sleep so much better than I ever have done for years and years and years. Just getting a great sleep now.
It is amazing, isn't it?
It's my favorite thing to do. I'm like, oh, can I go to bed now? Because I just know I'm gonna have a lovely sleep.
Was that something that happened straight away, or was there
No.
a...
So at first, so while I was drinking and over the years, I've always thought I was a really light sleeper, wake up at every little noise, wake up several times during the night, wake up early and not be able to go back to sleep. Not just when I was sort of a hangover, because that can obviously be a hangover thing, can't it? But just in general, I'd be a really light sleeper. Then when I stopped drinking, at first I really struggled to go to sleep because I realised there'd been quite a few nights during the week where I'd obviously had a couple of glasses of wine, and that would be quite easy just to go to sleep later. So that was difficult, I think, for the first few weeks, maybe not that long though. And then all of a sudden it just changed, and I started realizing, oh, I've slept all night, I've had a really good sleep, and it just, yeah, just really fell into place. And now I just sleep, have a really deep sleep for the whole night, because luckily the kids are at an age where they don't wake up as well now. So yeah, so sleep so better.
That is amazing.
Yeah, did you
Yeah.
find that as well with sleep?
Yeah, because I think I was definitely doing the 3 a.m. kick yourself, wake up.
Yeah.
I remember the one night just, and I've probably mentioned this on the podcast before, but just waking up and feeling so anxious, I could feel my heart racing. And I
Oh.
just woke up and I just went right in Dale's face. And he sat up, bolt upright. What? Oh, what's the matter? Is somebody breaking in? What's going on? And I went,
Yeah.
and I just said to him, I've done it again. I
Oh,
drank when I didn't want
no.
to. And he's like, oh my God, this again. And he ran. So,
No.
I think I do recall that sleep was, I could fall asleep very easily. I would fall unconscious almost. I was
Yeah.
knocking myself out.
Yeah.
I didn't have my Apple Watch at that point. I think I just started wearing it. Now I look back, I can compare,
Yeah.
but I wasn't really into looking at sleep and
Yeah.
seeing like the stages of sleep and
Yeah,
things.
yeah.
But there's some amazing books on the subject and podcasts on it because
Right.
obviously there's so much we don't know. It's a third of our life we spend asleep.
Yeah.
And yet there's so much we don't understand about what happens in the mind and the body.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
Yeah.
did you get funky dreams then?
I'm trying to think back if I did or not. Yeah, I think once I started sleeping deeply, a proper deep sleep, I was having more dreams and remembering the dreams and having and going sort of way back in time in my dreams and having really, and I was thinking, gosh, I just haven't been having quality sleep for years.
Yeah, I wonder if it's that we're not dreaming when we're drinking, or whether it's that we just don't remember
Yeah,
as well.
yeah, yeah.
But
Bit of both,
dreams
maybe.
fascinate me. I mean, I don't know that they've got hidden meanings or anything. I think it's just the mind rehearsing, just practicing, just rehearsing. And I know I had the odd drinking dream. I don't know if you've had that where you've had a drink in your dream and then you wake up and it takes a minute.
Yeah, I was having that during the early days, and it's horrible. It's like a nightmare, isn't it? You think, oh God, I've gone back to the start again, and then you think, no, thank goodness I haven't. No, and it's such a relief.
So sleep is a big one.
Yeah,
And of
absolutely.
course, with better sleep, you feel more energized, you feel a
Yeah.
lot calmer and more resilient in the
Yeah,
day, don't you?
definitely. Yeah, and I felt once I started sleeping better, I felt like my eyes looked better, looked sort of brighter, less tired. Because, you know, when you've got that, the hungover look is not a good look, is it really? It's like,
Let's face
oh,
it, you know, the drinking look, when you look
wow. Yeah.
back, have you got pictures like before and after
I
pictures of
have,
you?
yeah, I have, yeah, and I've seen, I know you've sort of shared a couple of times, and you think, gosh, it makes such a difference, doesn't it, to have a good, decent sleep and not be drinking.
So it does become a no-brainer as time goes on. It really
Yeah,
does.
absolutely.
So what's your second thing?
So my second thing would be hiking. I've started hiking over the last year, and I absolutely love it, and it's something I've never done before. I've always liked walking, but never done sort of really big hikes, you know, like Snowdon and things like that. So last year, I've done quite a few hikes in the Lake District, Peak District, climbed Snowdon, which me and Gaz, my husband, we've talked about doing for years. Never done. Last year, we did it together in the summer, and it was so nice, and we felt like it was such an achievement. And we thought, God, we've talked about doing this for years. We've finally done it. Did the Yorkshire Three Peaks. And just really enjoy it, and it's a nice form of, we say it's like our date day now, because it used to be that we'd go out drinking, you know, if we had any chance where the kids were getting looked after, our quality time together would be, we'd go out somewhere, we'd have a nice few glasses of wine and what we thought were really nice, deep and meaningful conversations. And now we, if we have some time, we'll go for a really big hike. And that's our, and we have really deep and meaningful conversations when we're sort of on our own doing that. And it's just really nice.
It's amazing how dates change.
Yeah.
Actually, do you know what? Going to a pub or a restaurant, I mean, it's nice enough,
Yeah.
but it's not something you want to spend hours doing, is it?
No, exactly. And you can end up doing that sometimes. And, you know, we did have good times doing that. But now I love just going for a hike and getting up really early, going out if we get the chance. We don't get the chance all the time because the kids wouldn't want to do a really big walk like that.
How old are they?
9, 12, and 14.
Ah, they'll be getting their hiking boots on in no time.
Yeah. We do take them out for walks, but not too far. And I've got a few different friends that I've been out hiking with over the last year. So yeah, so that's something new in my life that wasn't there before at all.
It opens up a whole new world.
Yeah, it
How did
really
you
does.
even sort of go, oh, I know, I'd like to climb Snowdon. I mean, how tall is
Yeah.
Snowdon? What's the height of that?
Oh, do you know? I don't know. I'd have to Google it, but it's pretty high.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an achievement.
It was, yeah, and I felt honestly we were so chuffed when we were at the top, and there's a small gold plaque on top of a stone at the top of it, and we sort of put our hands on it, and it felt like wow, we've really achieved something.
Far better than just sitting in a pub for the afternoon, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So that is an amazing thing to be doing. Is there anything
Yeah.
else that you sort of started doing, any hobbies or?
So I'd say just definitely being more outdoorsy and going out and doing big hikes, going for big dog walks. We've got a beagle as well, so we like taking him for walks. That's the main thing that I've taken up since stopping, really doing that.
Oh, that's brilliant. And
Yeah.
I'm coming up to the lakes
Oh yes, I saw
in a
you post
couple of
about that.
months.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
such a nice area. It's really beautiful.
I've never been.
Oh, well, I hadn't up until last year, and now I've been quite a few times, but it's really nice.
Are you quite local to there?
No, it's 2 hours away. So I'm in Chester, so it's 2 hours and 20 minutes, and there's lots of nice little you know, little small towns with cute cafes and gift shops, and it's lovely, really nice.
It's so different, isn't it, when you're looking at towns
Yeah.
and going that instead of, and
Yes,
there's a pub.
exactly.
Yeah,
Exactly. It's not even on the radar now.
look for the coffee shops and the gift
Yeah.
shops.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is a brilliant hobby.
Yeah.
We hiked up. Okay, tell me now, what's the difference between a walk and a hike? Is there
I
like
don't
a
know.
mile distance or
I
something?
don't know what the
Is it the
specific
boots?
term
Because
is.
I've got hiking boots, if that makes a
Yeah.
difference.
Yeah, I think you could be a hiker then. No, it's funny because I used to say walk. I'd always just say walk. And then people seem to, when it's somewhere like the Lake District or certainly a mountain like Snowdon, it's a hike. So I don't know what the actual specific difference is, but At some point, it's changed in my
It's
labels, and
like
I'm like, I go hiking. Yeah,
graduating from I go jogging to I run. What
or
speed?
yeah.
I think that is brilliant. I'm definitely going to call myself a hiker now as well. I've
Why
got the
not?
boots.
So that was good. Yeah, so that's a big a sort of lifestyle change, something that I really like to do. Yeah, and it's I think it's quite good stress relief. You're just escaping from everything, just come out with a different mindset. It's just really, really nice.
And so is your husband sober as well?
Yeah, he turned a year in December, so he stopped within about 4 weeks after me. It's something we've both talked about together over the years, not ever sort of saying that we'd stop completely, but saying we need to moderate, we need to drink a bit less, or I'm sick of having hangovers. So we both had that mindset. And then when I stopped, he just saw it as an opportunity to go for it as well. And he thought, well, he didn't say he was stopping forever. Whereas I did when I stopped, I said, this is forever a lifestyle change that I'm not ever going back from. And he stopped and sort of said he'd see how it goes, but he's seen so many positive changes as well. He does a lot of running. He's run a marathon last year, which he'd never done before. So
Wow.
his lifestyle has completely changed for the better as well. So he's completely into it as well now. So yeah, so that's helped a lot because I think it would have been really difficult if he was still drinking.
Yeah, I do feel for people where their
I
partner still
really,
drinks. I
yeah.
really do. So, how has it altered your dynamic then as a couple? Have you noticed that it's changed your marriage?
Yes, it's difficult to put your finger on because it definitely has. I feel like we, how can I explain this? I feel like we respect each other a lot, and we're quite good at resolving things out. If there's a little issue about something that might have got really niggly and, possibly not dealt with very well, we seem to deal with things in a really rational, reasonable, respectful way with each other. So I think it seems to have really just improved things. Yeah, I think it's just improved the relationship, really. The only sort of slight downside is when you're drinking and going out and having fun and all the rest of it, it's really relaxing, isn't it? But then we found our new sort of hobby of going out hiking together is a new way that we can really just enjoy, let go, get out, and just do something totally different. So we found sort of a new thing that we like doing together. So instead of going out drinking somewhere or to a nice bar and nice cocktails, it's go and find a nice mountain and go hiking somewhere really beautiful and see nice waterfalls and lakes. And that's our new interest that we've got together.
And it's a brilliant way to get that dopamine, those endorphins,
Absolutely, yeah.
and you'll feel tired after that. So that kind of, rather than the drug alcohol taking you into the false relaxed state where your body goes into stress and then you wake up at 3 a.m., as we've discussed,
Exactly, yeah.
it's that kind of, right, I'm getting a natural high, I'm getting
Yeah.
fresh air,
Yeah.
making memories,
Yeah.
and then actually falling asleep naturally.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's definitely improved our relationship a lot, and it feels like we're just really in a really good place, that we really look out for each other. I just feel like we're really just very reasonable with each other. We're never unreasonable, which we used to be sometimes, I think.
Is
So
it,
no.
do you think it's like an increase in patience?
I think so. Yeah. I think that's what it is. Yeah. Because you can be quite niggly if you're a bit hungover, can't you? Or if you've had drinks sometimes, things can be sort of misconstrued, can't they? And silly little arguments can come out of nothing.
Oh yeah, we were the king and queen of that one. Particularly in a motorhome. You know,
Really?
you can imagine it,
Yeah.
can't you? Because it has increased our patience with each other, no end. And let's face it, marriage requires quite a lot of patience,
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
as does raising children and, you know,
Yeah.
living in a house with other people and so many different things,
Yeah.
life. But yeah, I did notice that the little things, firstly, don't get misconstrued, like you
Yeah.
say, don't get misunderstood.
Yeah.
But if there is something that needs dealing with,
Yeah.
you deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it, when you have a second child that
Yeah.
doesn't sleep?
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever
God.
had that
No, that was
experience.
exactly the same for us. Our first daughter slept amazingly. Second and third, awful sleepers.
And so it's like we don't even get 5 minutes on our own. We don't. And we love the girls.
Yeah,
It's
of
not a
course.
problem. But you know, you're not getting a chance to even have a conversation without ears, without, you know. And our youngest is a real mimic. So anything you say, she will repeat. So you have to really watch what you're talking about. So we're not getting that chance. And we noticed this, caught it, had an intelligent conversation about it rather than having a moan and a whinge. And then just went, right, okay, we need to do something about this. And we've come up with a solution, which, yeah. So, I mean, now she's going to go to a little club in on a Sunday morning and we're going to go and have brunch.
That's brilliant. Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
Which, to be fair, if you'd have told me that as a drinker, I'd have went, are you kidding me? That is a date.
Whereas now, child-free, going out for brunch, so enjoyable, such a lovely thing to
Yeah, go and have a
do.
mooch around the gift shops, as you
Yes,
say.
yeah, that's my dream morning.
Just need to take go for a hike as
Yeah,
well.
yeah.
So, what's your third thing?
So I'd say my third sort of big change that's happened in the last year, I've gone back to education as an adult education, and I'm doing training in counselling. I've gone back to
Wow.
college. It's a night college course. So as well as I work full time, pretty much full time, it's sort of in between part time and full time, but I work quite long, busy days, and I'm doing a night course in counselling now, which is something I've always been interested in. I did When I was in school, it was health and social care and psychology. I was really interested in that. Left school and just got a job straight away. Didn't go to uni and just education was just left. And I haven't really been doing a job that I particularly, it's never been something that I've really wanted to do or loved doing. I've worked in finance, worked in mobile phones, I'm in estate agents now. It's all I've had lovely jobs, lovely colleagues, lovely jobs, but not something really that's really that meaningful to me, where
Yeah.
I'd like to sort of do something in more in the health and social care side of things really at some point. So I'm finding it really interesting, the studying that I'm doing so far, and it's on the course that I'm on, it's helping you to look into yourself a lot as well, a lot of self-reflection, which I haven't really done before. So I think that's really beneficial as well.
Everything I've studied with counselling, with therapy, with psychology, everything I've studied, it just opens your eyes, and there's so much self-reflection. So it's so rewarding. Would you have done that as a drinker? Is that something?
No, it's something again I've talked about, thought about, never would have got together the looking into it, researching, applying, or and going to do it 2 nights a week. It just wouldn't have happened, no way. Because it's, I think when you're drinking, it sort of holds you back from going forward and doing things you actually need to do, doesn't it?
It does. What do you think that was? Was it the time, the finances, the confidence?
I am not sure what it was, but something has stopped me from going forward and doing something like that. And somehow, since I think you have a clearer head, don't you, when you're in your sort of sober lifestyle, once you get quite established with it, you've got a clearer head to think what do I actually want to do? And then instead of it just being a thought that then goes out of your head, you do something with it and look into it and work out how you can do it and then just do it instead of
Yeah.
putting it off or just forgetting about it and have a glass of wine and forget about it for now. Just, yeah, I think it's just being sober has just helped me to just push forward and do things that need doing or that I want to do.
Yeah. It's like an inner knowing. We have that inner voice, don't we? That inner knowing, that yearning that I don't think we get a chance to hear when we're drinking. We've got a gut instinct, and my first gut instinct was you've got to stop drinking. And I ignored that voice for years, but it was always nagging, it was always there, and I knew it was there. And then when you stop, I'm trying to think back now to when I decided. We were driving along and I just looked at Dale and I said, do you know what I'd love to do? And it came out of nowhere. I hadn't really thought it through. I'd love to do a master's. I'd love to do a master's in psychology. I don't know if I could. And, you know, there was all these self-doubts. And by the time I'd driven, we were driving into Hereford, So it was only a half hour journey. I'd looked it up.
Oh,
I wasn't
amazing.
driving, he was.
Yeah.
I'd rung a university
Wow.
because it happened to be in the week, so somebody answered the phone.
Yeah.
We were I know where we were going. We were going to a play centre.
Oh, yes.
And he was inside with the kids while I was
Yeah.
outside talking to the enrolment guy.
Brilliant.
And I'd submitted my application
Yeah.
that afternoon.
God, it can happen quite quickly, can't it, once you look into
Once you
it?
get out of your own way, once you
Yeah,
actually,
exactly. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
yeah, it really is. It's that, it's that sitting there in absolute silence, which is why meditation is so good,
Yeah.
and just listening and not poo-pooing the voice when it
Yeah.
comes up.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to go, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I haven't got
Yeah.
time. What will I do with the kids? Da 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 da.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. It was a similar scenario for me because I can't remember where I'd been, but I was in the car as well, and I'd been thinking about it, and I thought I'll phone up the enrolment, and I spoke to like an enrolment office and had a chat with somebody about the course, and they was like, "Oh yes, well you can do the level two and then the three, and then you can do follow on, and you can do it all here, and this is what you need to do." And I logged on, filled it, started filling in details, and within 24 hours or so, I'd sent it off and done it, and I was like, "God." Yeah, you just like you say, get out of your own way. Just do
I
it.
think that is amazing
Yeah.
to just it's that thing when you go from just school into work. Again,
Yeah.
we've got so many parallels because that's
Yes,
exactly what I did.
yeah.
You don't get the chance to think about vocations and what
Yeah.
passion have I got and what. And also, in
Yeah.
this day and age, we don't have jobs like that. We don't have a
Yeah.
vocational job that you might do all of your life. You can change careers.
Exactly. Yes, you can. Yeah.
And you can study anytime you want to study. So
Yeah.
is that the plan then? You're going to go through all the levels and.
Yes. So that's what I'm planning to do. I'm just so interested in it all. So last year I completed my level two. I'm on my level three now, which is a fast track course, which is between December just gone and July this year. So it's sort of a year course condensed down into that smaller time. And then in September, I'm planning to do the level four diploma, all being well, and go down that route. So yeah, so it's all just coming together. Yeah.
We only get one life, you
Exactly.
know. You've got to go for it. You've got to go for what you
Definitely.
enjoy. And it is a fascinating subject.
Yeah,
People.
it really is, isn't it?
So, yeah, congratulations. I think that's
Thank
absolutely
you.
amazing.
Yeah, thank you. So yeah, it's really exciting, and again, just wouldn't have happened, I don't think, at all, ever.
It's so strange how much we hold, it's sort of the placeholder that alcohol takes in
Yeah.
people's lives. You've just mentioned there, your husband's run a marathon, you're studying,
Yeah.
and it's like a sponge for time.
It really, really is, isn't it? Yeah. And any time that you do get, if you're just having a few drinks, you're forgetting and sort of putting down the thoughts about what you need to do, really, aren't you? So it's not helping you to move forward in any way, is it?
No. No. And you're quite comfortable then saying that this is forever. You decided
Yeah.
that very early on.
Yeah. When I sent you, I think, that message on that day that I'd started and said, "Oh, hi, I've started following you and really inspired, and I'm going to stop." It almost felt like an impossible thing still at that point, but I was like, "I'm going to stop." Stopped. And then I just started listen to all your podcasts sort of throughout last year, listened to loads of Quitlet, read some books, just really educated myself. And I read, what was it? I read Alan Carr's How Women Stop Drinking, something along those lines. I listened to that audio book. And that really helped me a lot as well. And yeah, so I decided it's forever. And I thought there's no point me saying, "Oh, it's for 6 months, it's for a month," or because then there's, doubts can creep in, or it could be like, "Oh, well." And I know, I think we've talked about how when you're trying to moderate and trying to give up, it's a question every day: will I drink tonight? Shall I drink? How much shall I drink? Shall I drink tomorrow? Shall we get some wine? Shall we not? And I thought, I just want to be free of it all. I don't want it to be a question mark or a thought. I just want to be free of it all. And I thought, right, just make a decision forever. It's a big change. Just deal with it all. And just, yeah. So, yeah. So it's 100% forever.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think at first people thought, "Oh yeah, whatever," but I've thought that and done that, and I think with that mindset, it's just, yeah, That's what's worked best for me.
Exactly. And it's different for different people.
Yeah.
You know, I think I set, so I set the year. Dale said it
Yeah.
wasn't forever. And now it's just become that we wouldn't go back. So I
No.
think it is so different for different people.
Yeah, definitely it is, isn't it? It's different for everybody.
How did your friends take it?
Everybody's taken it very well. Luckily, because I'm not at sort of the age where we're all going out and things anyway, I think it would have been a lot different if it had been in my 20s or something like that. It would have been quite shocking to everybody. But I think because we're sort of, we're all adults, don't go out very much, it didn't make a big impact on any social things really. And I've done social events where we've, say, gone out for a meal or had family do's and things and not drank. And it is actually just fine. It's a little bit uncomfortable the first couple of times because you feel a bit self-conscious, and you feel you have to explain it. But then everyone's just sort of accepted it, really. I think there were a few comments at first, like, what, you, is it, you're giving up wine? like jokes like that.
Were you known as the person who liked the wine then?
Yeah, it was it would be unheard of that I would go out and not drink if there was a social occasion. So for me to then start doing that, yeah, definitely a big difference. But everyone's been really supportive and I think it's a great thing to do. So yes, I've been lucky in that respect.
Did you keep the mindset as you got older
Yeah.
that you were drinking still to get drunk, or did that change?
I think that changed. Definitely. I think that was a teen and sort of 20s thing. And then I think when as an adult, sort of an adult talking sort of like 30s onwards, but mean, when you really, no, it wasn't drinking to get drunk, but it was definitely drinking to get away from stress, to relax, to sort of calm things down, calm your mind down. So it wasn't drinking to get drunk, but it was definitely almost like a medicine to calm things down.
And to escape a little bit,
Yeah,
isn't it?
yeah,
Just to
yeah.
switch things off. So how do you do that now? What was your sort of your transition then to
Yeah.
finding better coping strategies?
Yeah, so I followed some advice that you've given at some point about keeping the same little ceremony but just changing the ingredients, something along those lines, isn't it? So I switched to alcohol-free drinks, which I don't really rely on as much now, but at first I did. And I'd in the evening I'd have something there that's non-alcoholic that I'd have in a glass. That was, like alcohol-free wine or alcohol-free beer, because it was very much that's what we would have in the evening, say while we're watching TV or something. So I'd have that, and then that would feel like it's a similar routine, similar things. And then with the winding down, and I think sometimes you just have to deal with things. And I just realized I'm just gonna have to, if I feel a bit stressed about something, I'm just gonna have to feel a bit stressed about it and either deal with it. Or just literally just deal with it rather than numb it out. So it's a case of really just dealing with life, isn't it?
It is. And they do pass, you
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
the emotions and the stress and
Yeah.
the things that go on, the worries. You
Yeah.
can't stay in that heightened state.
No.
In fact, even good emotions pass.
Yeah, that's it.
Everything moves on. So you can kind of reassure yourself that even if you've got to go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. And in the early days, I was doing that more, sort of having an early night and things. Yeah, so it is funny, isn't it? At first, when you have to change, because that would be what you would automatically do if you're stressed or if something, even if you're celebrating, just all those different things. It's just such a habit, isn't it? That you have a glass of wine with it.
Yeah, it is. It's just, it's like habit and social pressure. So you said you were quite stealth with it when you first went sober because it was coming up to Christmas. How did you manage that? Did people just not notice? Did you get there early? Because there are some people that will want to do that, just not make a big deal out of it and just.
So I had a works Christmas do, I think about 3 weeks or so after I'd stopped, and I just said I was driving. I think I said I was driving because I think I made some kind of excuse why I needed to do that, because I wouldn't normally need to drive. I think I said I was doing something the next morning. But anyway, so I just said, oh, so I'm not drinking because I'm driving. And that was fine. And then I think with family, we did mention it that we weren't drinking. So I think it was just, yeah, I don't know, it can go under the radar a little bit. People actually aren't that interested in what you are drinking, are they?
They really don't care.
No.
You know, they really don't. They're far more interested in what they're drinking than what you're
Exactly.
drinking.
Yeah. And you realize that, don't you? At first you feel quite self-conscious if you're not got something that you'd normally have, but then it's just fine.
And that's the thing is that I noticed that as long as you're not in the corner suddenly rocking back and forth in silence, nobody cares. As long as you're still you, I think if you've got friends that are literally only after you because you act like a bit of a tit when you're drunk, they're the wrong friends. You're the entertainment, it's not a friendship. So if you had a time machine then, right, and you could go back to you at the start, would you give yourself any piece of advice, or is there something you'd say to yourself at that point?
So the one thing I would say probably is I think when I was in my early 20s, after my mum passed away, and then, as I said, my dad went off the rails and all those things happened, my life sort of flipped upside down. I would say deal with it now in some kind of way. It's going to be incredibly painful, stressful. Have to sort things out, but then you can go forward with the rest of your life then without sort of having to run away from it all the time. So just face things head on. And I think people know these days, people seem to know that more, don't they? And I think there's better awareness of dealing with your emotions. Whereas sort of 20 years ago, it was more, oh, just put a brave face on, get out and about, enjoy yourself, try and forget about everything. And that was just seemed to be the way it was, really. So I'd say deal with things. Don't try and escape from them by drinking.
Yeah, and that's a really sane piece of advice. But you're right, back then, we didn't think like that.
No. I mean, counselling and therapy and things, people are mu much more freely getting them now. So not freely, not getting them free, but they're more it's more much more acceptable to be, oh yeah, I'm in therapy or I'm getting some counselling for this. Whereas sort of 20 years ago, it felt pretty much like, oh God, that's really extreme if you're getting counselling.
What a awful attitude we had back then, really.
I know it is, isn't it? So
I
I
think
think
it's wonderful that people embrace it, don't you?
definitely. Yeah, and even the youngsters, like teenagers, things can access it. And it's more accessible, I think, as well now. And even in schools, I think they have therapists sometimes. So it's great that youngsters can sort of have it from an early age, and through their life, if something happens, it wouldn't be such an alien thing to do to get some therapy.
And of course, we're hearing now, and you just said that your 14-year-old, you were drinking at that point, isn't really, it's not on their radar or their friends
No,
either.
not at all. No. And me and my husband were laughing because we were saying, are we just being really naive here? Are they really? But they're not.
Yeah, they've just pulled the wool over your eyes.
But no, they just seem to be not interested in it. They're happy to go out and get like go to Costa or somewhere, get a nice like get a hot chocolate. And it's all quite civilized, really, and that's sort of what they're doing. But it also seems like the younger generation are also into well-being a lot more now, aren't they? Health and well-being.
And I think that is starting from this openness with talking about feelings, mental health, getting support if you need it in schools. I think it is good.
Definitely is, isn't it?
So here's hoping that the next generations, particularly if we bang on about sobriety as well and it not being, well, how are your girls with you two not drinking?
So they it's nice because I feel like a really good example for them, and I feel really proud now because I think they've got to an age where they start. We obviously tried not for them to ever see us in a drunk position, but they knew that we had wine, and it would almost be a joke if we'd go to the spa. Oh, you're getting some wine, something. It was very much they were aware that we would drink, and so as they were getting to an age where they'd sort of notice things, I became more conscious, thinking, I don't want to be hungover in front of them and them seeing this side of things. So we've told them, I was quite honest, open and honest, and said, oh, I'm not drinking, mummy's giving up drinking, going alcohol free, and just made it all just like it's such a normal thing. And I think they've been happy about it, definitely. I think they've been happy about it. And they're quite aware of it. And if like our youngest Rosie, she's only 9, if she hears an alcohol-free advert or something, she's like, that's you, mummy, that's what you do. And I was thinking, oh wow, it's really sunk into her, she really understands this.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how you badge it up. If you're drinking like I was of an evening, just coming home from work, pouring a glass of wine, very respectable, but they are absorbing it. That is just something that they would normalize, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. And if we'd have carried on drinking, it would have been that we'd ended up offering it to them at some point, or it would have been normal that it'd be on the table once they're teenagers, getting a bit bigger, and then,
That would have been expensive. Let's
yeah,
face it.
definitely.
Three girls, think of the
Yeah,
Prosecco bill at that point.
exactly.
Blimey. I seriously though was thinking that with my daughter, because and I've shared this on the podcast, but because I've seen friends do it. I've seen friends do it where they'll, in the pub around a drinks, and their kids are then in their 20s or whatever, and they're still putting their hand in their pocket.
Yes, exactly.
As you do,
Yeah.
I'd far rather go and do something like wholesome with them or go on
Yeah.
holiday with them or something when they're
Definitely.
older.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I don't know what they'll do. They might choose to drink at some point. They're actually Sophia, our eldest, she hasn't said that she won't, but she's just not really interested in it at the moment. But the younger two have both said that they don't want to, but obviously they're too young to know properly. And I would never try to stop them, but I'd certainly keep being a good influence and showing them that you don't need to do that. Or if you go out, you could have alcohol free, or just showing them all the alternatives, really. But I know that, who knows what's going to
You
happen in
don't
the next
know.
few
I mean,
years.
all you can do is just lead by example
Exactly.
and just encourage them to treat it with respect, which I think we didn't,
Yeah,
did we?
absolutely.
We didn't see it as being quite addictive, actually.
No, I don't think we realised at all. The biggest thing with the kids, I think it's good to show them that you can change something. You could be an adult and you can see something that's not going well or that's bad for you, and you can change it. You can actually change your lifestyle. So I think that they've seen a big change, and they've seen that, not seen that it's a struggle, but they know that I've joined different communities and listened to different podcasts and books. So they know that I've had to do a lot of work with it in a way. So I think that's good to show them as an adult, you can actually just change something. You don't have to be that way forever.
Yeah, I love that. And that's a brilliant lesson to teach them. You
It
can
is.
admit you got it wrong, even as an
And
adult, and go, look, I
exactly.
need to change.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big thing to show them, isn't it, really?
It is. I know we mentioned anxiety, but did you suffer alongside the menopause with those kind of emotional, anxious
Yes, definitely.
feelings?
Being anxious, which has calmed down a little bit, and especially with hiking, doing different exercises, and not having alcohol in the system, that's definitely helped with the anxiety as well.
Yeah, it's always a work in progress, though, with anxiety, isn't it? Yeah.
My hair has gone in better condition. Because it's always been a bit sort of thinner, because I sort of have it coloured blonde, which isn't the best thing to do for your hair. So it's always been sort of a little bit thin, breaks sometimes. But even my hairdresser said, "God, your hair's gone thicker. Oh, it's feeling okay this time." Because normally she always has to trim off a little bit each time. She's like, "Oh, it's a bit of breakage there. We'll have to trim." And now the last for about 6 months or so, she said, "Gosh, your hair's it's fine. It doesn't need trimming yet. Actually, you can just keep growing that part." And I'm like, "Wow," because the only difference is not drinking alcohol, because I'm still getting bleach put on it. So it's not like it's being treated differently in that way. I still style it and things, but without the alcohol in my system, it seems to have gone a bit thicker, and it's actually growing. It's not breaking.
If you think about it, if it's doing that to your hair, what's it doing to your insides?
Exactly.
Now you've come to mention it, my hair's thicker because I've grown my hair longer since being sober. I haven't had my hair long since I was a teenager. I had my hair cut very short at 21, much to my dad's dismay, and kept it like that all the way through. Even when I met Dale, I had short hair.
Did you?
So this is a totally new thing. So I don't actually know if mine's improved, but I do know I can grow it now. Which I
Yeah,
don't
well,
think I
maybe
can.
if it's not looking in bad condition, it looks in good condition. It's obviously growing fine and it's healthy. So I think it does improve things.
Oh, well, it's been absolutely lovely chatting to
Yeah,
you.
it's been really nice.
It's been really lovely spending a Saturday afternoon catching up. And I'm so pleased you
Definitely.
reached out and sent me that message.
Oh no, so am I.
How did you find Instagram
How did I
sober
find you?
space?
I don't know. I think I just must have started searching sober. I don't know, but I came
Why
across
do we
you.
do that? Where does that come from? This is what I can't remember how I stumbled across sober Instagram.
And there's such a great community, isn't there?
I just it's unbelievable. And then all of a sudden it opens up in front of you and it's another world. Now I wouldn't imagine my life without it.
Absolutely, definitely.
So I am so pleased that you sent me that message and you did it.
And
You've
I
done
actually
it.
did it. I know. No, because when I sent it, I didn't have full confidence, I think, at that point that I could actually do this. But I was like, I want to do this. This is what I need to do. And you really inspired me. And it was, hopeful. But then to have actually, I'm so chuffed that I have actually done it and we're here now. And you've invited me on your podcast, which I'm very honored about.
Full circle, complete full circle.
And when I used to listen to you talking to people that were sort of a year in, it just seemed like such an unachievable, like so far away from what I could achieve. It's great. It's the best thing.
It really is. What piece of advice would you give to somebody who's at the start of their journey?
I think something that's really important is to realize that you're psychologically addicted to it. Rather than there's a difference, isn't there, between being physically addicted to it and psychologically addicted to it, and just to really educate yourself and unpick everything behind it. And just I think people, if they just try and stop by willpower, it's that must be so difficult. I think you've really got to look inside yourself, haven't you, and work out lots of different things, really. So yeah, I'd say research, listen to Quitlet, listen to podcasts. Just really, it's a real education, isn't it, really?
Oh, Izzy, it's been so lovely.
Oh,
I
thank
have
you so
really
much.
enjoyed chatting to you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I really loved it and really feel very honoured to be on here. So yeah, thank you very much, Louisa.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you'd like any support with your sobriety, then please reach out. You can visit my website, louisaevans.com, where you'll be able to send me a message. And you can look at some of the things I've put together to help you. There are links to my Dry January podcast, my audiobook on Audible. As a clinical hypnotherapist, as well as a therapist, I have created lots of different hypnotherapy recordings that you can listen to help you on any subject. You'll find those on the website too, alongside my Sober Resilience course. As a listener of the show, you can use the code SOBERREBEL to buy one, get one free on any hypnosis or relaxation recording. I really hope you enjoyed this show as much as I enjoyed recording it. Have a great day. Until next time.